I mean, you all have received what God has had in song today. You've listened to that, and He is glorious, and He's wonderful, and He's matchless. And so I want you to go with me to John chapter 15. And it's going to be a little challenging today, so you might as well look at your neighbor and just tell him, here it comes. But tell him, here it comes. There's some tough stuff going on in the world today. How many of y'all have noticed there's a lot of tough discussions going on in the world at this moment of time? And for some of you, guess what? Your prayers are being answered. How many of y'all, when you got in those super spiritual moments, you said, God, send a great revival to America? Anybody ever pray that? Well, sometimes to get a great revival, guess what? The things that are in our way of hearing God have to be pruned. And right now, the number one God in America is having some trouble. God is entering into a recession. Now, we understand that this is a false God because our God cannot recess. Isn't that cool? But we're going to have to make our minds as followers of Jesus Christ. You know, there comes a point in time, what do you really believe in? What do you really believe in? What is going to be the center of your situation? And what do you operate out of? Here's what Jesus said in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. First thing I want you to know, you got to know you're connected to Jesus. How many of y'all are aware? I'm connected to Jesus. And here's why you're connected to Jesus. Now, how many of y'all realize this? I'm going to take a burden off some of you. Some of you are sitting here today and you're going, man, why in the world should I follow Jesus Christ? Well, here's the number one reason. You can't save yourself. How many of you realize you can't save yourself? Dr. James D. Kennedy, I like Dr. Kennedy now. I mean, things have moved on. The late Dr. Kennedy, who pastored Coleridge Presbyterian Church in Florida. He was in a dialogue, in a debate, and they asked him, they said, well, what about all these other religions? And Dr. Kennedy, in his very sophisticated Dr. Kennedy kind of way, he said, there's only two possibilities of religion. All other religions fall in two categories. Category number one, they will do something to save themselves. Think about it. All other religions, you got to do something to save yourself. If you're going to be a good Buddhist, you got to walk the trail of Buddha. If you're going to be a good Islam, you got to do the five pillars of Islam. If you're going to be New Age, you got to hug trees. I mean, you got to do something to save yourself. True? Now, a lot of us, since we're so daggum arrogant, we like that kind of religion because we want to say what? I'm a little better than what? We even do this sometimes when we follow Jesus. How many of y'all have been in church and you've ever heard sermons like this? I got to let you know, you can't save yourself. Realize that? I mean, haven't you all heard those sermons that look like a list? If you do these things, you'll be saved. You know what Jesus said? You come to me, you're going to know salvation. You got to come to me. You got to receive me. So Kennedy said there's two forms of religion. One is you're going to save yourself. And he said, and then there's only one way. Jesus Christ comes and saves us. And you're going to see that. It's the only way. Grace. We're all sinners. How many of y'all realize we're all sinners? We're all sinners in this place. I guarantee you every one of us has broken the Ten Commandments at least once somewhere. So if you hang them in a school hall, you can walk by and say, I broke those. What's happening? Apparently, in my opinion, now this is not thus saith the Lord, this is just the opinion of heirs. We have become a nation fixated on analyzing problems. We love to talk about problems. We love to look at the problem. We love to do studies on the problem. We love to have dialogue on the problem. We like to have a discussion about the problem. But I don't see anybody wanting to step in to the solution. Amen. Now see, here's the difference in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ doesn't say, come observe me. He says, come what? Follow me. So guess what? You become a part of the solution if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. How many of y'all glad to know you're a part of a solution? And so, church, I just kind of want you to know that probably, you know, followers of Jesus Christ, they're going to be needed in this moment of time. What do you think? And I'm talking the real deal. You know, I mean, people are tired of church people. Lord, I go to church and I'm tired of church people. Imagine people that don't like the church. I mean, I really am. I'm tired of church people. I mean, I can be that. How many of y'all are tired of church people? Yeah, I mean, Jesus is tired of church people. They're the only ones that gave him trouble when he was here. It was the organized religious. And you know what? I'm tired of hearing about the organized religious. I'm tired of hearing, watch this,
What? Y'all know how people try to save themselves. Lord have mercy. In fact, if I ever write a book again, Elizabeth, this is coming to me, so get ready to write. I'm going to write a book called Salvation of the South, a False Gospel. Because here's what we preach in the South. We've said as long as you drink in private, you're going to be all right. We've said as long as you don't cuss where your neighbor can't hear you, we're going to be all right. True? We've said as long as nobody finds out, I must be a good what? Person. Come on, y'all know I'm telling you the truth. Look at you, looking at me, go, oh man, how many of y'all feel like you're wearing starch shirts right now? You're starting to itch a little bit. Oh my gosh, man, I believe that stuff. Man, this is what people believe. Now, here's what's so sad. A lot of people, my friends, I love Bowling Green, Kentucky, just because I've lived here. This is where I live, so I love the people here, okay? I love people everywhere, but I really love people from Bowling Green, Kentucky. So I go to the Minute Mark with them. I go to the ball game with them. You know, I'm going to stand up with them. Guess what? But guess what? A lot of my friends in Bowling Green believe they're going to get saved because they've done something good and God likes them now. They got it backwards. Here's the deal. I can't be good and God loves me anyway. That's a whole different gospel. How many of y'all going, whew, that's taking some pressure off your back? How many of y'all glad to know if you snuck in church today, God knew you were a sinner before you got here? Isn't that great? So now he wants you to connect so you can get better. But the only way you're going to be saved is you got to really get real with God. That's what confession is. God, I'm a sinner. Guess what? Your pastor makes a lot of mistakes. I wish I could tell you all that I go through the week and never have an angry thought. That's a lie. I wish I could tell you I go through the week and have had a week where I've never said a word I wasn't supposed to. Maybe 3 dates. But you ought to try coaching high school football. That's a great temptation. We got to work on what? Letting God get us better. Does this make sense? But you know what we want to do in America? We want to have a discussion, but never get to a solution. And I want to wake you all up. The solution is not in politics. I'm going to build my case for you. We've been talking about the same things for 4 or 5 decades, and none of it's ever changed. And there's a reason for that. Politics can't change people. And the problem we have in America is not a political system. It's that we have sin. And we got to let Jesus redeem us. You know why there's poverty? Take a guess.
Because it don't work.
This is a true analysis. I can guarantee you something. You will be poor if you do not work. I can give you a guarantee. And you say, well, I don't have an opportunity. Yes, you do. We refuse our opportunities. We don't want to start where we think it's beneath us. Oh, now there's the sin. Arrogance. I'm not going to blow leaves. I got a college degree. Well, you might blow leaves and then end up being the president of the university. That's the way we used to think. But now we think, I have graduated from a 4-year institute. They ought to make me CEO of the company. I'm 23 years old. I ought to make $250,000 a year. Because my mommy and daddy have given me everything since I've been born. It should continue. Welcome to life. See, I grew up in a crazy age. Guess what? I learned this from birth. Nobody's going to give you anything. Nobody owes you anything. If you're going to be somebody in life, you're going to have to scrap it, work at it, believe in it, have faith, and you're going to have to get it on your own. Because nobody's going to give it to you. But hold on now. No, that's not true. It's chapter 2 of the false gospel of the South. See, what really happens is that Jesus Christ, when I enter into Him, He gives me everything. He gives me ability. He gives me cause. He gives me purpose. He gives me life. He gives me love. He gives me joy. He gives me peace. And He tells me, now take what I have given you and go make a difference. Do you realize you can blow leaves in the name of Jesus under the power of the Holy Spirit and it'll change the world? You say, what do you do for a living? I blow leaves. What's your purpose in life? Glorifying God. What?
Yeah, I own the leaf blowing company. I make $500,000 a year. God showed me how to blow leaves, and I took what He gave me, allowed Him to bless it, and now I'm living beyond my understanding. Now, guess what? We need a church that's going to be real. So I'm going to give you three things today. First thing is this. You better decide what you're going to center on. If you're going to say you're going to follow Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ shapes everything else you do. It shapes everything else you do. Which is, you're always living in Christ. That makes sense? I mean, how many of y'all got this in mind? Okay, I'm going to go to church. For an hour, I'm going to get my Jesus on. You know, for an hour, I'm going to go sit down. I'm going to sing a couple Jesus songs. I'm going to hear some Jesus verses, and then I'm going to walk out of church untouched. Well, that's not salvation. Salvation is Jesus has hooked you up to heaven. That makes sense? He has welded your soul by grace to the purposes of God. And I'm telling you, church, it's time we go make a difference. Because you know what I think we could offer? A solution. I blew some people away a couple Sundays ago, man. It was great. It created great, for what little intellect I had, I could have an intellectual discussion. Because some people just got incensed that I would bring this up. Because when we deal with the issue of poverty, see, we never want to get down to the problem. We want to talk about the icing of the cake. I want to talk about the recipe. You take sexual immorality out of our culture, tell me about our economy. Regina, take sexual immorality out of this culture. Tell me about your job. See, this is what this would create. You would actually have kids that have parents. Would that be different as a guidance counselor? Totally. Mickey, you'd still have work, but it'd be a different type. Which is, I bet, Mickey, if we didn't have sexual immorality so prominent that it created the crushing of the family, you wouldn't have as many addicts to deal with. What do you think? But see, we don't, can you imagine a politician getting that honest? Can you imagine a politician standing at the podium saying if America would keep it in their pants, we'd have a better situation? You can put that on YouTube if you want to. For our guests, they're going, what's he talking about? Sex. No, hold on. Listen, I'm not dogging you if you've been. Listen, how did I start this service out today? We've all what? Amen. Well, here's the object of the church. Let's not keep on. Amen. Let's try to improve. I don't know about you, but my children have messed up before. What about yours? Amen. How many of your parents are raising perfect children? Because we're going to ask you to quit, because those are the kids that mess everybody up. And then some of y'all are going to have those kids. You're going to marry somebody's kids that were perfect. That's a mess. We're all in this thing together. And you see, if we would slide into the solution together, a difference would be made. You got to decide what's going to be your center point. I mean, I'm just showing you. Watch this. Take greed. Did y'all realize being greedy is a sin? See, here's what I can't understand. Man making $5 million a year. To me, that sounds like a lot of money. What does one human being need with $500 million? And I could care less how much money somebody makes unless they discard other human beings to make it. Now, there's the boundary. If I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, I'm going to take my life and make sure somebody else gets better as I live it. Because that's part of the call of Christ. Make sense? So we look at the first point. What am I going to center on? Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 1, he says, guess what? I'm it. He says, my Father, look at here. I am the true vine. Hello. I'm the what? Not a vine, a. How many of y'all have been plugged into some other vines? How many of y'all said, man, if I just do this? Oh, come on. You know it. You know it. How many of y'all have ever heard this in Kentucky? Oh. If I just win the lottery, everything's going to be all right. Well, let me help you. Go outside and get struck by lightning. That's the chances you got of winning the lottery. You got a better chance of being hit by lightning. But I've heard people go, oh, if I just win the lottery. I said, you'd be broke in 3 days. Because your money is not your problem. It's your attitude. It's your problem. And so if I pour a lot of money into a bad vine, it still bears no fruit. See what I'm saying? You say, well, do you really believe that? Yeah, go look at the people that won the lottery. They're broke a year later. Because they never fixed the problem. The problem was, it wasn't that they didn't have money. They didn't understand wealth. What are you going to center on? Jesus said, I'm a true vine. Well, is he? And my father is the gardener. Hello, let me help you with something. Who does the gardening? Go on, y'all talk. Y'all been so good today. Please don't go First Baptist on me. Come on. Talk. Y'all been great. Huh? I know y'all think about going First Baptist on me. I can see it. Some of y'all are almost getting the head nod going. Especially when I say sex.
Okay, whatever. We're going to have meat and fire, brother. I tell you, he's talking about real stuff.
No, I'm the true vine. My father is the what? Look at what it says. Father is the now, how many of y'all want to be the gardener? Uh-huh. Here's the problem with the church. We don't get connected to the true vine, and then we want to run around and be everybody's gardener. Oh, that's not our job. Our job is to get people in the presence of the gardener. And the gardener will take care of the garden. Amen. Well, many times they say, well, you don't preach about sin. I said, I do preach about sin. It's just I don't name them all. I said, you know what you're doing that's no good. How many of y'all already know what you're doing is no good? Come on, you already know. How many of y'all know? Now, if you married her, you got to stay with her. You married him, you stuck. We're going to get better. We're going to let the gardener do what? Watch this. I tell people this in marriage. Basically, marriage is the same thing all the time. If any of y'all thinking about trading, it's just like what you got. You say, well, it's younger. Okay, it's got more energy and it's going to be more trouble than what you had. At least the other had mellowed down. Just be careful. Hold on. Let the gardener do what? See, when we get in marriage trouble, man, Elizabeth and I have had marriage problems before. I mean, she's married to me. There's the start of the problem. You know what? We hang in there. We say, wait a minute, God, you got to change us. When Elizabeth and I were young, guess what? We tried to change each other. How many of you men have ever tried to change a woman? Okay, that shows how stupid we are. Watch this. We ain't even read the Bible. Where was Adam when Eve was eating the apple? Standing right beside her. Let me tell you, here's the problem. Men are so dumb, we don't even have to be tempted. One naked woman and we're downhill. I mean, think about it. No crafty serpent had talked to the man. Eve just looked at him and said, here. We went. We knew God said, don't eat it. I still wish Adam had done this. Baby, you in a whole lot of trouble. He backed off a tree, the world would have been different. Guys, we would have been one remote control for eternity. But that didn't happen. And here's reality. We all are in the same place, working God's salvation in the reality of our daily lives. So remain in Him. Look at here. He's got to be the true vine. The gardener's going to do the gardening. Amen? You going to put that to work on Monday? How about right after this service? God, take out of me what needs to be taken out of me and bring forth in me what needs to be brought forth in me. And let the gardener do what? People have been asking me all about this presidential election. Here's where I stand. Go vote, and we're going to pray no matter who gets elected. I've done a lot of study in history. We have had some people that weren't that smart lead this country. True? Y'all don't have a smart man leading this church, and we're making it through. See, it's not about what I can do, but wait a minute, it's about what God can do in humans that makes a difference. You know, watch this. Somebody asked me, they said, you worried about the election? I said, no matter who gets elected, God's still on the throne. That'll ease you up a little bit. No matter who gets elected, who's on the throne? God! You say, well, what if America, this happens to America? Guess what? We've lived without Rome for a long time. We've been living without Greece's influence. The British Empire, the sun goes down on it now. France, Lord, they can't even fight anymore. They were an imperial empire at one time. Here's what you better hear me. You better hear me. Nations come and go. Leaders come and go. God stays. God stays. So guess what I'm going to tell you to do? Stay with God. And then I want you to know this. Number two, He expects you to do something with what He gave you. Go make a difference. Be fruitful. Red, you got some abilities. Guess what God wants you to do with those abilities? He wants you to become a man of God that makes a difference. And He doesn't want you to be some sissy in the kingdom of God. God does not make men to be sissies. Amen? And God's had a bunch of sissies in His kingdom before. You read over there in Judges, all the men were sissies and they had to raise up Sister Debbie to go chop a guy's head off. And you get a woman, man, there's going to be some heads roll. Started in the Bible. Look at here. Look at here. Look at here. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. Let me give you God's attitude inside of you. He never stops. Older seasoned people keep on learning. Even more fruitful. More fruitful. I read in the paper, y'all reading the paper, I think it was Friday's paper, 115-year-old woman. Said the secret to her longevity was she didn't worry about anything and she's nice to people. She ate grease. To test me, I went and had some fries to the glory of God. Hold on, wait, but she really said this in the paper. She said, I've lived 100, she's born in 1893, that was a while back. But she said, my attitude has done more to my chemistry than my DNA. She said, I don't worry about stuff. Listen, church, our job is to not worry. It is to produce. So second thing, that you will make a difference if you're in the true vine. The vine bears what? Fruit. And I just want to tell you, man, followers of Jesus, we need you today in this culture. More than ever. And guess what we need? We don't need a church in Coliseum screaming and yelling out the gospel. Let's put up our t-shirts and all of this stuff. And let's go be the life. Yeah, a witness is not just having a bumper sticker. A witness is being the bumper sticker. You know, the witness is when they pull out in front of you, not flipping them off. Now, if you got a bumper sticker and flip them off, it really confuses people. Because they know that's not a praise and worship sign. But we need followers who are really connected in the vine that are producing what? Fruit. I want your marriages to make a difference. I want your children to make a difference. I want our church to make a difference. Guess who's in charge of solving poverty anyway? We are! Who cared more about the poor than anybody? Church. Well, not the church. The head of the church cares. Jesus. What did He say? He said weird things like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Over in Luke, He said, blessed are the poor. Jesus said crazy things like this. He said, well, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Most rich people think they can buy their way in. Not all rich people. Now, hold on. Jesus didn't say the rich were going to hell. He said this. All things are possible in what? Jesus Christ. Now here's what you need to understand. Here's the tough thing in America. We're all rich. Poverty isn't in other cultures. You got a Cadillac, a widescreen. Poverty in other cultures is this. Guess what? You eat one meal a day on a good day. That's poverty. You see, our poverty in America is basically this. I'm not living a middle class lifestyle. In other parts of the world, poverty is I can't eat. And we got to get real with this. Make sense? Y'all give me that look. You itching? Hey, I'm dealing with it too. I can't tell you I wake up every morning and think about those people that don't have. A lot of mornings I wake up and I just think about getting down Scottsville Road. Shame on me. I ought to make a difference. Wait a minute, God, how am I supposed to make a difference today?
Watch this. I bet Bowling Green, Kentucky would change this week if we just woke up on Monday morning and said, okay, Lord, how do I make a difference today? My difference. And if all of us made the difference God wanted us to make today, just in Bowling Green, Kentucky, from Hillview Heights Church, I bet it'd be a different week. What do you think? What do you think? You see, abide in Him. Let Him prune you. Now, who does the pruning? Jesus. Let Jesus take it away. How many of y'all have ever had somebody inspect your fruit? I used to be around these Christians, and they'd go, well, I'm a fruit inspector. I had other names for them, but I did not use them, and I choose not to express that here in a sermon context.
No, you're not the fruit inspector.
God is the gardener. God will shape the person. That's none of your business. Your business is to be a lover of Jesus Christ, making a difference with what He's given you and blessing other people that are beside you. And if the church would ever shut up and do what He says, we'll see a great revival. But no! We don't want to be fruit. We want to be gardeners. See, God hadn't called me to change America. He's called me to live out Him on earth. I happen to be located in the United States of America. And so if I live Him out, what should be happening as I live Him out is somebody else is going to get better. Amen? Sister, I want a solution, not a discussion. What's this? You will never, guess what? We'll never get rid of the problems in our hearts until our hearts get converted. Well, write it down. Please, that's a good one. I'm telling you the truth. You don't get rid of prejudice by having a dialogue. You get rid of prejudice by going to the cross and saying, God, I am prejudiced. I am a sinner. I have discarded your people. And I apologize and I am sorry. Amen. Jesus goes, good, I've been wanting to get rid of that branch a long time ago. Do you think a discussion's going to change it? How many of y'all are married? How many of y'all have ever had a discussion in marriage? Did it change anything? No. When does it change? Here's the only time Elizabeth and I ever change. I mean, I pray for Elizabeth. God, she's not listening to me, and you need to open her ears. And she prays for me. God, He's supposed to be called by you. Do something with Him. Neither one of those prayers work. These prayers work when we get down on our knees and say, dear God, we're both wrong. Would you please show us where you are? And guess what I found? Elizabeth will be wrong, and I'll be wrong, and God will always be right. Is this making any sense today? You're called to make a difference. You say, well, how in the world do I make a difference? How do I put this to work? I've got to give you this one because it's right here in the Scripture. Young ladies, remember this. Young men, remember this. Young parents, remember this big word, remain. Remain. Young couples that are in here, listen, stay married. You say, well, I don't like him sometimes. That's called a husband. Now, hold on, I'm going to help y'all get real. If you think you're going to like your spouse every day you wake up, you are out of your mind. Somebody has given you crazy pills. How many of y'all like your kids every day? I like my kids every day. They don't like me every day. But let me tell you what, I love my God doesn't like me every day. And some days God looks at me and says, I tell you what, you have messed up all day. I know. He said, but let me tell you something. I'm the vine and I'm not leaving. So in the morning, we're going to get up and we're going to say, this is the day the Lord has made and we're going to get it better. And I'm telling you, this is real life, man. Remain in Jesus, no matter what. Man, I know there's some people in the room that struggle with addictions. You know what? Sometimes we fall off. If you fall off, guess what? Here's what the devil wants to do. You fall off. You fall off in an addiction. Guess what the devil will say? You're what? You're done, man. Go back to it. I'm telling you, you may slip up, but you can get back on the vine because the vine hadn't left. Now, don't get around religious people because they'll tell you they're doomed. They'll look at you and go, you're doomed. And Jesus said, come on, get back up here. He said, but Lord, I fell again. Get back up here. I'm taking you to heaven and you will be sober when we get there. Come on, don't give up. Remain. I'm telling you guys, hold on to that.
Hold on to your marriage. This is a thought of God. Young people, I want to preach to you. You go to school, you stay in school, you graduate. You start college, you finish college.
You say, well, it's tough.
Wait, what's coming next?
Well, I'm in a job and the boss doesn't like me.
Oh, my gosh. They're a boss. They're not supposed to like you. Mr. Rogers lied. Ollie the trolley's not in the neighborhood.
That's the problem. My generation polluted with Mr. Rogers. We want to wake up every morning and ride the little Ollie train through life and make sure everything's okay. Put on our little, you know, sissy-looking sneakers and walk around in a sweater.
That ain't life. There's business deals going down. There's reality going down. There's gospel road. There's real things going on every morning.
And God says, guess what? Here's what he says right in the middle of all of the things going on. I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to be quiet. You're going to get to heaven because Jesus isn't going to let go. For just a minute, real gentle, like just grab the wrist of your neighbor and say, he's going to hold on. I want you to feel this. He's going to hold. Grab me. He's going to hold on. He's going to hold on. Thought you was going to get left out, didn't you? Uh-uh. He's going to hold on. He said, okay, you can let go now unless you just, you know, thought you lucked up and got next who you needed to be, you know. You're not taking a hold of him. Who's taking a hold of you?
Jesus. Is this making sense today?
Now, can we live this out? So three things you should have heard today. Have you heard that Jesus is the way? Has everybody heard that? And then what he said. How many of you all have heard this? Let Jesus get you better. Let Jesus take out the stuff you don't need and let Jesus enhance the stuff that you have. Okay, let him do that work. And number three, don't quit and you're going to make it. Because Jesus is not going to quit. How many of y'all have heard Jesus is not going to quit? Here's what I love about Jesus. He is just like one big old thistle. You can chop him down, 3 days later he'll come back bigger and stronger with a more beautiful flower on top of him. You can spray him with Roundup and he'll drink it like lemonade. This world will not defeat Jesus. Y'all, somebody say amen. See, that's what I'm trying to get y'all to understand. This world will not defeat Jesus. Now, here's how I know. I mean, I can prove it to you historically. There's writings outside of the biblical text that verify that Jesus was here and that Jesus was crucified. He was a real historic figure. And guess what? For over 2,000 years, guess what? Nobody can shut this message up. And I'm telling you, 2,000 years from now, after we're all gone and we've become history, Jesus Christ will still be available. That is the power of remaining in Him. Don't let up. And sometimes we need that word of encouragement. Amen. Here's what he says. I have spoken to you, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Amen and amen. I was going to preach a lot more of this text. I might preach again Sunday, but as far as I got today. That's enough. Amen. Okay, now hold on. It's not that complex, but guess what? If we actually activated these three understandings, staying really centered in Jesus Christ, actually letting Jesus take out some stuff in our lives that we don't... How many of y'all got some stuff you know isn't making it happen for you? Come on, you already know. And you're going, how many of y'all come to church and you know you've been somewhere you're not supposed to, and you kind of go through church like this? Oh man, I hope nobody finds out. Well, Lord have mercy, God knows. I could care less about you. You ought to care less about me. Because none of us are the what? Bingo. None of us are the gardener. The gardener already knows. And guess what the gardener says? I'm going to take that off if you let me take that off. How many of y'all, if y'all had a big old nasty looking mold on the side of your head? I'm talking like quarter size mold all gnarly nasty up on the side of your head. How many of y'all would leave it there or you might go check in and see if they could get it off? What would you do? Y'all would. How many of y'all ladies would leave it there? I mean, it'd take two jars of makeup to cover it up. And one of them kind of mold. What would you do? What if you had a big old wart just right in the middle of your head right there? What would you do? Why? Okay, it's ugly. What else? Your wife would make it. It really wouldn't bother you, but it'd bother her. Okay, hey, well, That's another sermon, but that's a good point. Anybody else take it off? Why?
It's embarrassing.
Let me ask you a question. Why do we leave those places on our soul? For some reason, we're okay with them on our soul because our body's got them covered up. And we think as long as nobody finds, the gardener's already found out. And he said, I would like to remove those places so that you might even remain that much deeper in me. So he's going to say, God gets us better. Why don't you let him? Does that make sense? Remain in me. And what does he say? What's the promise? I'll remain in you. And then there's a third part of that promise. And you will bear what? Fruit. Here's what fruit is. How many of y'all going to love somebody tomorrow? I'd start in the morning with your spouse. That's a good one to love. I'd pass it on down to your children. Then take it on into kindergarten. Bring it on up through graduate school. Take it on out into the workplace. Put it on into the retirement home. And even take it to those tomorrow that will have to say, see you later for a little while to some of their loved ones. That's the daily rhythm. And God is in the daily rhythm. Bearing much what? Fruit. Life. Any questions? Would this work?
No.
What do you think? Well, why don't we try it? Instead of checking in on each other's fruit, why don't we start asking each other this question? John, what kind of fruit did God bring to you this week? You say, man, I talked to somebody I never talked to. Man, they started listening to me about Jesus. Cool. How many of y'all just being kind makes a difference? You know, I'm an old Southern boy, so guess what I still got to do? Ladies, I'm fully into liberation. I believe if you got a smart brain, you ought to be paid the same as a man, okay? I fully believe all that. However, I'm still Southern. You know, I've got Southern roots. So, Jane, if you walk in front of me and there's a door, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to open that door. It has nothing to do with me doubting your womanhood or feeling that you are subordinate to male kind or anything like that. Is I want to be a what? A gentleman. You can open a door for a smart woman that's making a lot of money. Who knows? She might even tip you and you get a blessing on the side. Just an act of what? Kindness. That God loves all of us, no matter where we find ourselves. Does this make sense? Teachers, we got a lot of teachers in here, man. I want y'all to know y'all got a powerful job. And so we got, what, about 4 or 5 weeks left before y'all get a breather? So I want you to take a deep breath and I want you to hear what the Scripture said to you. Remain in me. When the kids go crazy and the sun comes out, none of them want to be there. And they all got to take those cats tests or whatever they are, tiger tests or whatever they're taking now. Remain in, because I'm going to do something with those kids beyond your imagination. You just be faithful in a moment. All right. I'm finished. Anybody else got anything? Y'all ready to have altar call? How many of y'all know there's probably going to be some people get saved today? Okay, I want you all to focus in on those. Usually the followers of Jesus Christ, y'all need to start praying right now. Listen, I'm serious. We're all in this together. I want everybody in here that doesn't know Jesus to know Jesus. Is that a bad thing? Here's why. Just in case this is the last day we got, I'd like you to go to heaven with us. Am I being a mean person or what? Am I being demanding, dictatorial, and interrupting your personal freedom? Or do I actually have a compassionate heart enough to tell you the truth? We have all sinned. That's the truth. And there's only one way into the kingdom of heaven. And it's, you know, all other religions. Listen, if you want to try those other religions, you're going to work yourself to death, literally. I mean, if you got to be a new ager, you got to go hug trees, you can't eat a steak. I mean, there's just so many rules. You know, it's amazing to me, all these people that have all this freedom, they have so many rules. Here's Jesus' rule. Follow me. Remain in me. Don't step out of me. Let me change you. He says, I'm in charge. And that's the one we buck out the most. Because we go, how can I save myself? What's the answer to that question? Tell them, brother. You can't. Even if you're cool like you, you what? You can't. How many of y'all know there's going to be a lot of good people in hell? I mean, they're just going to walk right up there and say, Lord, I believed in prayer in school, the Ten Commandments. I went to church 60 minutes a day. Not a day. I mean, once a week. I missed during vacation. Twice a year, I'm a good person.
He said, but did you abide in me?
Well, no, I followed the rules.
And he's going to say, I'm so sorry. I don't know why you didn't hear. I'm a relationship, not a rule book. We tried the rule book with the top 10, and everybody broke them. So we came next in a revelation of personal relationship. And here's what Jesus wants to do. Come into your life and forgive you of your sin. Scripture this morning. You've been made what?
Clean.
And then I want to live inside of you and we're going to get better together. You say, oh, Pastor Ayers, it cannot be that simple. It wasn't. He died on the cross and rose from the grave to make it possible. Here's what you don't like about it. You're not doing anything to make it happen. And that just ticks you off. Me too, because I'm a control freak. I don't like flying on planes. You know what? Because I'm not driving. And if I flew, we'd get there a lot faster. We might get to heaven too. But see, at least we'd be 38,000 feet closer than most of us will be at a time. We're not going to go to heaven on our own. And y'all got to really hear this truth, because listen, the gospel of the South says if you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven. The gospel of Jesus Christ said there are no good people. We've all sinned and fallen short of what heaven has to offer. So Jesus Christ has come so that you might be forgiven. He wants to take hold of you and take you on to heaven. But while we remain right here, the great things of God are going to come forth out of us. Does that make sense? Let God have you today. Amen. Maybe you need to come and pray and just say, God, I need to let you make a difference in me. Come on out of me. Y'all been great today. Let's stand together. This altar's open. Pastors are here. If you need to talk about baptism, we want to talk about that. If you need to talk about asking Christ into your life, man, we want to talk about that. Whatever it is, we want to talk about it. If you need prayers of healing, it's open. It's open. Caesar, it works, doesn't it, brother? Caesar was baptized last week. It works. So let God have this moment. In the name of Jesus, this altar's open. Pray with me. Lord, I know I have not done what you've asked me to do. I know I've sinned. I know I've fallen short. I know I've not fallen in line with your rules. So God, I'm going to have to depend on your grace. So Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from a grave. Come on, you ask him to come into your life. He's going to come into your life. Say, how do you know? Try it. See what happens. I'll challenge you. Try it. See what happens. I'll even go this far. Go ahead and receive Jesus, and if you don't like it, you can give it back in 6 weeks. So, can we do that? You'll never want to give it back if you get the real thing. It's a real deal. You're clean. You can go sit in therapy group from now until he returns. And that'll help you cope with your sin, but it'll never forgive it. Clean. It's one place of cleansing. And it's Christ. So come and let him love you. Come and be baptized. Come and be healed. Come and pray. Come and let him take away things that are blocking your reality of Christ. Come. And so here's the altar today. You ready? The gardener's in the house. Gardener's in the house. His name is Father God. And the reason he's here, because he and the Son are one. And Jesus is here in you, and he's here in this reality. And he wants to come and bless his children. He wants to make them better than they were before they got in here. So just let the altar go to work. In the name of Jesus, it's open. Y'all come on here for just a few moments. We're not going to drag this out. If the Spirit's calling you, come on. Nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be embarrassed of. Come on, if he's calling you. In the name of Jesus, let's worship at this altar. Come on, church. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's worship. Amen.